Welcome back to another episode of Ear Candy. It is me, your favorite hostess with the mostest, your favorite podcaster, your girl, the goddess, the femininity coach and queen, the princess of all things beauty, all things feminine, all things love and light, all things style, all things gracious. Just, I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm here and welcome back to another episode. I want to talk about confidence and mental health because I feel like this is something that we don't talk about enough. We had a little run where everyone was speaking about mental health and then all of a sudden no one wanted to discuss it again. And I remember feeling like, wow, are people really struggling with their mental health or are we just speaking about it now because it's trending? And it kind of made me feel like it was taking away the real need for the conversations, and it was making people who were really suffering feel like their pain was now a trend or their struggles were now a trend, and it wasn't something that was really being taken seriously. It was just more about getting likes and clicks and reposts and being able to, you know, say that you were having these hard conversations without really speaking about the nuances of mental health. And so I kind of want to go ahead and talk about confidence and mental health today. I hope that you guys are ready because I did not take any notes. I'm just going to be talking off the cuff about how I feel, and I'm freestyling today. I'm just going to rap with you guys. I'm going to freestyle. No boss. All right, guys. So here we are. So how does my mental health feel? My mental health is actually really good. I'm in a place of clarity. I feel like every now and then God puts me in these spaces where he wants to reveal something to me, and I just have to be open. And it's very painful. It's very uncomfortable at times. It's very, it's just not a lot of comfort in it. It's not a lot of safety. It feels very vulnerable and open and exposed, but I welcome it because I know that in these moments, eventually I'm going to have an epiphany. Now, what I love about this season and what I noticed was that in this season, my confidence has grown tremendously. And so it used to be that I would be super depressed. Like I would just fall into this deep, dark depression and I just wouldn't know how to pull myself out of it. And I was talking about this today. I made a video on my Snapchat and I was saying like 2 years ago, I recorded this video of me crying in my car. And I told myself that I would never record myself crying, but it was an organic cry. It wasn't something that I planned on doing. I was just making a video and the tears began to fall. And the reason why I was crying was because I felt like I did not recognize myself. Like I looked in the mirror, I didn't see myself. When I tried to connect with myself emotionally, mentally, I felt very disconnected. And so I was just crying about how people were stereotyping Black women, including myself, and how it felt like we were proving them right. Everything that they had said about us and who we were as women, you know, was coming to fruition, and it was very negative. None of it was positive. It was all the whole, you know, Black woman trope of having to be whitewashed to fit in and having to be, you know, to run away from our authentic style and expression of self and having to, you know, talk with slang in order to be accepted, or how we had to have, you know, that a certain style to be considered cool, or how we had to, you know, tone down our style to be accepted and welcomed into different spaces. And I remember just crying about how that made me feel as a Black woman who was entering a professional space and who was trying to find love and who was trying to date. And I remember just crying like, oh my God, you know, is this what my life is coming to? When everyone I meet just breaks my heart, you know, or they're already taken, but somehow wanting to be a part of my life. And I just remember feeling like, really? Like, this is where we are? Like, seriously? This is it? And I later broke free of that because I am a fighter. And I still had my battles with mental health throughout that year, but I fought through every day, every single day, whether it was like, today I have to take a day off and I'm just going to take a mental health day and I'm going to stay home, I would do it. Or whether it was, you know, like, I'm going to go in here, I'm going to put on a smile, even though I don't feel my best, I'm going to smile through it, I'm going to work through it, I'm going to give my all, I'm going to give 100%. And I would just get through it, I would get through it, I would get through it. Well, I did get through it. And then the following year, I had another mental breakdown where I cut off all my hair. I couldn't think, I couldn't focus. I just felt really detached from myself and from my being. And I was doing all of this shadow work where I was writing these letters to, you know, people telling them how I felt. And I even wrote a letter to myself, you know, telling myself, like, I forgive you because of this and that and the mistakes you've made. And, you know, I'm proud of you. And just doing all of this work to make myself a better woman. And then I had this really bad accident, and all of these things happened at the same time. And I remember having to leave my job because I just emotionally and mentally could not work. I could not do it. And I remember feeling depressed. I laid on my couch for like maybe 3 weeks, two, three weeks. I just slept on my couch. Only time I got up, of course, was to shower and eat food. But I just laid on this couch. I watched television and I couldn't think of doing anything else. I didn't go out. I wasn't hanging out with my friends. I wasn't, you know, dating. I was literally doing nothing. And it had gotten so bad, like, my friend ended up sending me, like, delivering me cookies and ice cream because she's like, oh my God, like, I want you to feel loved. I'm so sorry that you're feeling like this right now. Like, I was suffering. It was horrible. And then finally, there was like a silver lining. And I got up one day and I just felt alive. And I felt like I was a new woman, like I had returned to the older version of myself, of being this woman, you know, who loved herself better and who knew herself better. And I started taking myself out on dates, you know, solo dates. Of course, I was still going, you know, on my bike rides and jogging and going for long walks and just doing things that helped me connect with myself better. But I still knew that I was going through a mental health battle, because every day is a battle. When you struggle with depression or anxiety, it's not something that just magically disappears. It's always something that you work through. And even when I felt like I was perfecting myself and who I was as a woman, I still had those moments where I had to remind myself, like, don't think that, don't feel this way. Don't go into this place of doubting yourself, like, fight through it. And it really helps me become a better woman. Now, after these things happened, I went through a phase of just complaining about everything. Like, everything that happened, I had like this inflated sense of self where I felt like everybody was trying to take me out. Like, oh my God, everyone is after me. I can't trust anyone. And of course, I'm pretty sure these are stages of some kind of growth, right? Just like there are stages of grief. I'm pretty sure that these were stages of something, but I just don't know what, because I'm not a psychologist or a therapist, so I do not know. But I'm pretty sure these are stages of something. And then I one day I told myself, I said, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. I don't really like this person. I don't like who I've become. I'm not comfortable with this. I no longer want to do it. And so I decided that I was done. It's like, that's it for me. Not doing that anymore. And I started to be happier and I was glowing inside and out. I just felt like I was full of life. And even though I knew that I was imperfect, I felt perfect because on paper, everything in my life was perfect. But I knew as a human being, like, you're not perfect. You feel perfect because things in your life are going much better than before. But the reality is you're not. None of us are, right? Like, yes, you're working this job. And yes, you're making, you know, more money. And yes, you know, you feel good and you look good. And yes, things in your career are going well. And, you know, yes, you're celibate for a year and however many months. And yes, you're eating healthier and, you know, you're taking your vitamins every day, but you're still not perfect. And yes, you don't curse and you're not, you know, doing all of these horrible things, but you're still human. So in some way, there are some imperfections. You may not be able to pinpoint those imperfections, but they exist because you're human. And I knew this about myself. No one had to tell me this. I grew up in church and I'm an avid church goer. So I know that my humanistic nature is imperfect, right? Even if I can't tell you specifically what my flaws are, I know that they are there. And if God were to judge me, if Christ was here to judge me, he would be able to tell me, like, Latricia, this is what's wrong. And so I put that in my mind all the time. Like, I may not be able to pinpoint my flaws, but if Christ was here right now at this very moment in front of me, he would know exactly what my flaws were, and he would be able to tell me, like, this is a flaw. You overlooked it. You didn't see it. And I would have to say, like, God, with you being who you are, you're right. And so I knew who I was. And so that made me feel like I was, you know, grounded and very humble. And I think that that is something that when we're speaking about mental health and confidence, being grounded and being humble at the same time are very important. You can be a very confident and self-assured person, but you also at the same time must be grounded, and you must know that you must be humble, right? You can walk around with your head up and you can have a twitch in your walk and you can have all the style and all of the money and you can be fine from head to toe. But the reality of knowing that you are imperfect is what keeps you grounded. And so I had to tell myself, like, this is going to help your mental health. Like, knowing, like, yeah, I look great and I feel great and everything on paper is great, I'm still imperfect. And so what God did for me was help me balance this new found confidence with being humble. And I want to talk about this, okay? So mental health is something, like I said, that for a while was just a trend. As you see now, most people are not talking about it the way that they were before. So it was trending at one point. It was trendy to say you were depressed. It was trendy to say that you were, you know, dealing or battling with mental health. But think about all of the celebrities who battle, and we talk about them. We make memes of them. So it really does show that there really is no true care for those who are suffering, right? I say all the time when people talk about Kanye, I'm like, Kanye is cousin Kanye. He's invited to the cookout. I don't care what anyone says. You guys can talk about him all you want to, but I always say Kanye is family, because we've all said that we think that he has mental health or whatever. He's said that he has it, yet we still make memes of him. We still talk about him. He still trends whenever he has an outburst. Or we attribute everything that he says to him having a mental break rather than him just being a human being who has opinions. So a lot of times I give him a lot of grace, because I'm like, well, he probably isn't having a mental health breakdown. He's human and he's pretty intelligent. He's probably just speaking his truth. Doesn't mean that he's having a mental health moment. And that's something that we do often. We discredit people who have these mental health problems as always having these crazy spaz out moments, as opposed to saying, like, well, maybe they really do feel this way. Maybe this is just them expressing their true feelings. They aren't having a mental health moment. They're just having a humanistic moment. And that humanistic moment shows emotion, because we are emotional people. We may hide our emotions well, but we have emotions, right? And so what I recognized was that with myself personally, I didn't want to be someone who just made mental health trendy. When we lost, can't remember if she was Miss USA or Miss America, but when she had, you know, the suicide and jumped from the building, I remember how I felt that exact day that it happened. I was struggling with my mental health. I was very depressed. I had been thinking about suicide for days off and on, and I knew that I wasn't actually going to do it, but there was this piece of me that said, if I did it, how would I do it? Would I jump off the building? No, that's too painful. Would I put a noose around my neck? That would be painful, but, you know, at least I wouldn't risk surviving and then having, you know, to lay there for a while until I bled out. Or I was thinking about these things. When I drive off of a cliff, I can't swim. So if I drove off a cliff, I'd drown. And so I was just thinking all of these things. And I remember posting on my Instagram, and I posted her picture, And I said, I understand how she feels because I too feel that way at times. I'm struggling right now mentally. And I remember my sister's friend messaging me like, are you okay? Do you need to talk? And I remember my sister calling me like, what's going on? And she was like, don't say those kind of things. And I remember telling her like, but this is how I'm feeling. Like, I feel sad. I feel depressed. I feel like I don't want to live any longer because what purpose am I serving? If everything is falling apart, why am I still here? If nothing I do is good enough, if nobody loves me, if nobody, you know, like, why am I here? But what I've learned at this season of my life is even when people don't choose me, even if people don't love me, even if people don't, you know, decide to have my back, for lack of better words, I have to be my biggest advocate. I have to love myself in spite. I used to tell myself all the time, Latricia, you have to love yourself more than they hate you. Not saying that I have people that truly hate me, but I have this, you know, a lot of people use the word haters and then they mean jealousy. Well, when I say haters, I mean people who just do not like me. I'm like, oh, they're just hating, right? Because they don't like me, so they the opposite of like is hate, dislike, hate, whatever. And so I probably use the term improperly, but that's just how I say it. And so I was like, I have to love myself more than they hate me, you know? And I told myself that all the time, because if nothing is to change, what if nothing changes? Like, what if nothing changes and everything stays the same? Am I going to spend the rest of my life not liking myself? Absolutely not, right? Am I going to spend the rest of my life wanting to end my life? Absolutely not. What I've recognized is the people who get the most recognition are the people who stand out, right? The people who get the most attention, positive or otherwise, are the people who stand out, right? If you blend in with everybody else, how are you going to be looked at as different? How are you going to attract the eyes of the things that you need? If I have a field of diamonds and there's just one ruby, you know, there's one sapphire, right? In the midst of all of these diamonds, my eyes are immediately going to go to that sapphire and that ruby that's shining in that different color. So I had to tell myself, like, Latricia, you have to love yourself more than people hate you, because that self-love only makes people love themselves more, right? Like, I would much rather you genuinely love yourself because you love you rather than love yourself because you're comparing yourself to me and you think you're better or whatever. Like, I would much rather you say, like, no, I genuinely love myself, whether there's someone in the room that has more than me, that looks better than me. I would much rather love myself just because I genuinely love me. And so that's kind of what I recognize, like I said, with a lot of us, we're not open enough and we're not candid enough about how we feel about ourselves. I had to be very honest in saying, like, yeah, I've definitely dealt with insecurities. I don't really have them as much now as I did before. I still struggle, but thank God I haven't been crying or I haven't been suicidal. You know, I haven't had these feelings of just wanting to end myself because of them. I just went through a heartbreak, and for the life of me, I don't understand. I just went through a heartbreak, and that heartbreak had me wondering, like, God, what happened? Like, what's going on? I don't understand this, right? And it made me really feel like I was used, like my heart was taken for granted, my feelings and emotions were taken for granted. But then I thought about this and I said, Latricia, this isn't the first time you've gone through this, right? Like, you've had your heart broken before, you've been used before, you've been mistreated before. You've been in this place, right? And it used to be one of those things where I said, like, well, why does this keep happening to me? Like, why is this happening to me? But now what I recognize is we attract what's for us, and we attract the people that have genuine intentions for us, or people who have poor intentions for us. And when we attract the people who have poor intentions for us, they're going to weed themselves out. And so that gives us more space and more room to attract the people who are for us. So even though it hurts and you have all of these different scenarios and you're thinking it through, like, well, what was this and what was that and why is this and why is that? What I recognize is none of those things are actual reasons to
really begin to dislike or not love yourself. I remember I was walking around, I was driving my car, and I was like, man, everyone is holding their head down. And I had just written this chapter in my book when I was speaking about how I used to walk with my head down all the time. I walked with my head down so much that I literally used to just count the pavement. I would count the tiles. Like, I became OCD about looking at the tiles and walking with my head down. And I remember my mom telling me, like, stop walking with your head down, hold your head up, why are you always walking with your head down? And I did that, like I said, in junior high, and then I stopped it once I got to high school. And then once I hit like my early 20s, like, I always had my head down. And so I told myself, like, I'm so happy I outgrew that, because it was unhealthy for me to always feel afraid of holding my head with pride, holding my head up. I was doing myself a disservice by feeling like I needed to feel invisible. Like, I would hold my head down to feel invisible because I didn't want you to see me. I didn't want you to recognize me. I didn't think I was worthy to be in these spaces. So I would hold my head down in shame, right? Like, I don't deserve to be here. You know, like, I'm not as pretty as them. I don't have as much as them. I don't look like that. I don't have that. So I would hold my head down. And it was very, very sad, especially to see a young girl, right, feeling that way and holding her head down. I was so, like, it was really sad. I was like that all the time, right? Because I was overweight and I was like, oh my God, you know, some people call me fat, and or I'd be embarrassed because I break a chair or something. And so I would just walk with my head down, like, oh my God, like, I'm so embarrassed, like, oh my God. But I remember driving in my car, and I felt like everywhere I went, all of a sudden, I just saw people with their heads down. And I had never seen that before. Everywhere that I went, everybody was dressed to the nines. Everybody was happy and smiling and jovial and just enjoying life. And it made me want to enjoy life more. And then it went from that to seeing everyone with their heads down. And I was thinking to myself, like, what's going on? And as much as I was wanting to pour into other people, and I was asking this genuine question out of concern and out of wondering, like, what's going on with us as a unit of people, as a collective, that's making us seem depressed or making us seem, you know, shameful and afraid to hold our heads up, I begin to encounter these attacks, and one of them being the heartbreak, where I was like, dang, you know, like, I thought we were about to be in love, like, what just happened? And it made me feel like my love for other people and my concern of other people and just me having this big heart and wanting to love on other people, I was being punished for that. Like, I was wrong for having this heart of, and I don't want to say a heart of gold because I'm not perfect, but for lack of better words, we'll just say this heart of gold. I felt like I was being punished for having a heart of gold. Like, looking at others and thinking, like, no. And I remember seeing this girl, and she had her head down. And I was like, no, baby, hold your head up. Like, and I literally said it out loud while I was driving in my car and I drove past her. Of course, she couldn't hear me, but I was like, oh no, hold your head up. Like, why is your head down? Like, be happy, you know, like, you're beautiful, you're on this date with this guy, like, you guys are riding your scooters. I'm like, look happy, you know, be happy. And I remember feeling like I was being punished for wanting other people to be happy, even if I didn't feel my happiest. Mind you, I was just depressed, I was just suicidal, I was just driving in my car crying. You know, I just cut off all of my hair. Like, I had just gone through all of this, but yet I was able to look at other people and say, man, I just want you to hold your head up, you know? And I remember Satan attacking me just for wanting to see other people have something that at the moment I was struggling to find. I didn't feel my prettiest. I felt unattractive. I had gained weight. My skin was being weird. I just cut off all my hair. I was single. And here I was looking at other people thinking, I want you to have something I don't have right now. Like, I'm not happy right now. I don't feel the best right now. I don't feel attractive right now. People are being mean to me. Like, I'm not in a good space, but I still want you to feel beautiful. I still want you to feel loved. I still want you to feel like you have pride and you have a reason to hold your head up. And like I said, I get punished for having this desire to see in others what at the time I didn't see in myself. But I thank God for this, and I'm going to tell you why I thank God for this, because it shows me that I'm not selfish. I'm selfless in some ways, because if I were selfish, you know, I'd, you know, want other people to feel the pain that I was feeling. Like, I want you to feel as bad as me. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I need you to feel the same way. If I don't feel good about myself, there's no reason you should be smiling and being happy. Because I've been there before where I feel really bad and other people are having a good time around me and I get frustrated. Like, why are you so happy? Like, what is going on in your life that is so amazing that you were so happy? I've been there. And of course, that just comes from a place of, you know, sadness, and you're sad. And so because you're so sad, you become angry at the idea of someone being able to enjoy what you can't enjoy. And I've been there before. And so it made me happy in that moment to recognize, like, God, even when I'm not at my best, I still want other people to have what I can have. I tell God all the time, like, Lord, if everything that I want from you, I don't receive, if I never receive the loving husband, if I never receive the six, you know, figure amount of money that I want annually, if I never receive the happy home and the child and with the husband attached, okay, if I never get to travel the world the way I want, being able to see you bless other people is good enough for me, because it shows me that the God that I serve is still in the blessing business. Even if you say, Latricia, that's not what I have for your life, that's what I have planned for someone else, I would still be grateful enough to know that the Lord that promised that he would never give up on me is still in the blessing business. He may have a different blessing for me, but he's willing to bless other people. And I get to see that. I get to witness and experience that. And so, for everything within me, I had to tell someone today, I was like, I thought you knew I was a happy person. Like, you still don't know I'm a positive person after all of these years? Like, I thought you knew that about me, right? I was like, I didn't think I had to explain that. I thought you already knew that, because sometimes people have these, you know, these ideas of who they think you are. And it's like, wait, you don't know me by now? Like, I thought you knew that about me. I thought you knew that I was a positive person, that I always have like this weird optimistic idea. I thought you already knew that about me, but I guess, you know, whatever. But a lot of times, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I just, what I think people understand about me, they don't. And I just kind of, I would love to prove to them who I am, but sometimes it's like, well, if you don't already know this about me, it's like, well, you know, I just didn't do a good enough job at presenting myself, I guess. But I'm gonna keep going. But I think, like I said, you know, our confidence is definitely attached to our mental health. When we feel good about ourselves, we actually just present better and give the world better. Now, this isn't something that I feel happens, you know, naturally, because there are moments when I've felt amazing and I've looked amazing on the outside, but on the inside, I was struggling. But then I often think back on myself. And like I said, I started this journey 12 years ago. And I often think back on who I was, you know, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 6 years ago. And it doesn't really make sense how life just shifts you into a different direction without really giving you a warning. And then you look up and you're like, wait, what happened? How did I get here? Because I often tell myself a lot of times, like, well, I've been on this journey for as long as I've been on this journey, and I try to do everything according to God's will. I pray before I make every decision. I ask God to guide me before I do everything. I ask the Lord to order my steps. And I'm putting him at the head of my life. I still have the same desires. I still have the same goals. I'm still looking after, you know, achieving and accomplishing the certain things. I'm staying true to my brand and who I am as a woman. And then one day I'll look up and I'm like, wait, you know, why is this happening to me? Or how did I get in this situation? Or, you know, what? Because I'm still on the same journey. Nothing's happened different in my life, you know? Like, I'm still doing everything according to what I consider to be God's will. And if it's not God's will, you know, Lord knows I prayed for his guidance and maybe I just misunderstood. But, you know, it's a lot of times I sit back and I'm like, wait, what happened? And how did what? And like I said, when these moments happen, I recognize that this is probably God trying to teach me something. He's trying to reveal something to me. I don't know exactly what that thing is, but it's something there that he is trying to show me. And it used to be that I would dissect myself and pull myself apart like, oh, he's saying that this is bad about me and that is bad about me. But now what I recognize is a lot of times it's not even about me. A lot of times it's other people. It has literally nothing to do with me. But when you battle with depression and anxiety, you become a master at loathing yourself. You become good at seeing the bad in you. Other people never see the bad in themselves. And this is something that I've learned, is that other people become masters at seeing what is wrong with you, but never with themselves. People become masters at saying like, oh, this is what you do. This is how you are. This is how you think. This is what you desire. And it's like, huh? Like, wait, what? You know, like, how do we get here? Like, wait, what? Like, I don't understand how we got here. Like, how am I the culprit and the bad guy in all of these scenarios? Like, what's happening? And so it has become I'm learning. Someone said the other day, like, it's so good to see yourself growing. And I agree with that. Like, the things that I used to care about, the things that used to make me sad and depressed, the things that I used to say, I don't do those things anymore. I've literally thanked God for helping me return back to my original version of myself. The girl who didn't complain about everything. The girl who didn't have all of these self-deprecating thoughts. The girl who wasn't chasing someone else's reality. The girl who wasn't, you know, insecure about everything about her. The girl, I'm happy that I'm returning to being someone who is optimistic, who does believe that she can do great things, and who does see, you know, beauty in herself, and who does have, you know, love for others, and who is selfless, and who does put other people first. I'm so grateful to be returning back to her, because I felt like for a while Satan desired that version of me better, because it gives him something to hate. Like, oh, if you say this and if you do that, then now I have justifiable reasons to cause you this pain. I have justifiable reasons to allow people to hurt you. And not only that, what I recognized in my life was that Satan would have people to hurt me and harm me and to disrespect me and to, you know, scapegoat me and gaslight me, to cause me to have a reaction just so he could have a reaction to my reaction. And I was like, yeah, I have to get out of this cycle, because that's not something that I would ever do to anyone. And I definitely don't want anyone to do that to me. And so I've had to try to pray myself through it. Like, God, let me pray myself through this, because Satan tries to use... And someone said, oh, you know, you do think that way. And it's like, well, we all have thoughts, but the way that we think doesn't determine our actions and how we feel, right? I saw this Diana Ross thing, and she said, she says the same way that we have thoughts that tell us that I'm not good enough and I'm not worthy and I don't deserve that and I can't have that, she says, you know, we have the opposite thoughts to tell us we can. She says, you know, I could tell myself, you know, I'm going to win that award and I'm amazing and I'm beautiful. And she was like, but there's still that other side of me that's like, oh, no, you're not. You know, like, you're not this, you're not that. And it's true, because I've been there where I'm telling myself, like, you're smart, you're beautiful, you're deserving of love, you're going to meet the man of your dreams, you're going to have a healthy relationship, you're going to make the money you want, you're going to travel, because you're good enough, you're good at your job, you're good at, you know, you're a good friend, you're a good daughter, you're a good sibling. And then there's this little thought in the back of my mind that's like, no, you're not. And I used to think that there was something wrong with me for having those contradicting thoughts. But when I saw this video of Diana Ross from Lord knows when, maybe the 60s, 70s, I think it was like the 70s or 80s, probably the 80s. She was like, she has those same thoughts where she's telling herself, like, I'm amazing. I'm Diana Ross, right? And then she's like, there's this other side that's like, no, you're not. You're not all that. You're not going to do all those things. And it just put things back into perspective for me, where I was like, yeah, we all have positive and negative thoughts. That's natural. That's normal. But our actions and what we do with those thoughts are what count. That's what matters. That's why I've been trying to censor the words that I say, because just like you have positive thoughts, you have negative thoughts. Just like I could tell you I love you and I could tell you all the reasons I love you, if I get angry enough, I could probably tell you all the reasons I dislike you at times, right? So I try to censor my emotions so that I am able to watch the words that I say, because words hurt, right? I've definitely had people say things to me that have bruised my spirit, right? And that have made me question and doubt myself. But what I told myself was, I don't want to get emotional, but I probably am. I remember telling Satan, like, nothing that I did, no change that I made had anything to do with anyone else's opinions or actions. People loved me. I had friends. I had family. I was winning awards. I was having fun. I was being young and high-spirited in my 20s. I was enjoying myself. People respected me because I respected people. People loved me because I loved people. People didn't hurt me. People weren't breaking my spirit. People weren't, you know, harming me. I had great experiences. They weren't perfect, but they were mine. They were normal for me. And every decision that I made to change had nothing to do with anyone hurting me or harming me or disrespecting me. I just decided to love the real me, as opposed to constantly trying to chase somebody else and someone else's idea of beauty and desirability. I just decided to return back to me. And I remember telling Satan that, like, Satan, no matter how many people you send to hurt me, no matter how many times you try to break me down, the reality is the woman that God created me to be, none of that came from all that hurt you sent my way. It came from the love that God put in me. God taught me how to love myself. I just woke up one day and I was like, I'm done with this, because I want to love God the way that he loves me. I want to love myself the way God loves me. It had nothing to do with other people. And so the second I told Satan that, he was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to send all of these things towards you. I'm going to send it all your way. We're going to see if we can make people hate you enough to make you want to change who you are. Because obviously you don't know that the way people see you and the way that people treat you has the ability to make you change. But the reality is, I already knew that. That's why I had changed in the first place. That's why I became the woman I was in the first place. I just happened to want to go back to being the original version of myself, the true essence of myself. I was telling someone today that I got to perform on stage in front of people, and I haven't done that in years, but I love it. I love to do it. I love being in front of people. I love, you know, showcasing whatever talents or abilities. I just like it. It's something I've been doing since I was a child. That's who I am. That's the essence. That's a piece of me that still lives in me. That's something that I have desired since I was a child, right? And it's not because someone told me to do it. It's not because someone told me not to do it. That's just something that has been within my spirit since I was a kid. I think that's something that God placed in me. And I think that a lot of times what Satan does is he takes those feelings that you have and he will use them against you. And if you're tuned in, a lot of times our mental health, when Kanye says that his bipolar is his superpower, let me tell you something. People who struggle with mental health are usually the most profound and the most empathetic and empathic people that there are. You are so emotionally, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Your emotions are, you're so emotional because you're so tuned in. you have these thoughts that go deeper than the surface. And so when things happen to you, it feels very personal because you're so deeply connected to things. It's not necessarily because you're crazy. You're just deeply connected. You overthink and you think deeply. It's not even overthinking. You are a deep thinker. And because you're a deep thinker, when things happen to you, it feels very personal. It feels very, very personal because you're such a deep thinker and you're such an empathic person. And that's something that I've had to unpack about myself. Like, Latricia, you're just a deep thinker. I've always been a deep thinker. I've always been someone who overthinks and deeply thinks. It's just that those things never affected me before, right? Until I guess I became older and my thoughts just became more intricate and more in depth and more, you know, profound. Before, I could think about all kinds of things all the time and it never came back. I never had to question it or even think twice about it. It was just like, oh, okay, well, that's a thought that I had. All right, moving forward. But now those things just seem so very personal and deeply rooted in my spirit that it does feel, like I said, like I'm just overly affected emotionally by different things because I'm such a deep thinker and I'm an empathic person. So I really just wanted to kind of talk about like how we feel when it comes to our mental health. Like I said, you know, that heartbreak really broke me. I was like, wow, like, you know, I thought I was about to fall in love with someone that loved me. I thought I was about to be in a situation with someone that cared for me. But, you know, a lot of times we love people more than they love us. And sometimes we love people more than they love themselves. Sometimes people see themselves and they begin to see the things that are wrong with them, and the things that you love about them are the things that they begin to loathe about themselves. And it just is what it is, you know? And I'm just learning that, like I said, I have to love myself more than people hate me. I'm not gonna cry because I am getting very emotional, but, you know, I asked God the other day, like, Lord, why can't people just love me for me? Why is it that people seem to always want me to be chasing after them and trying to be more like them rather than them just saying, like, you know what, girl, I love you. Like, I really, truly do love you for you. And not only say it, but show me, right? Like, show me the love. Make me feel the love, you know? Like, just fill me up with so much love. But unfortunately, you know, people don't do that. And it's very unfortunate and very sad. But what I am learning is that I have to love myself more than people dislike me. I cried in my car over these stereotypes and the way that people think. But now I'm breaking free of that, especially as a Black woman. I'm like, yeah, I'm breaking free of that. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to allow people to place those ideas on me of what, you know, Blackness is and how women are and that we have baby daddies and that we are, you know, living this way or that way, or we think this way and we have bad attitudes and we're bitter. Like, I'm not gonna let people place these negative ideas of what a Black woman is, especially the kind of Black woman that I am. I'm not gonna accept that because I have, and I said this the other day, I have been the first to do a lot of things and I plan to accomplish so much more in my life, and I'm not gonna let anyone place ceilings on me. One thing about me is if I'm determined to do something, if I put my mind to it, I'm gonna try my hardest. I'm not always gonna succeed, but I'm gonna try, and I'm gonna be determined to try. And I'm not gonna allow Satan to now tell me that I can't. Like, no, I can. I've been doing it and I'm gonna continue to do it. And so that's pretty much all I have for you. It's just working through all of these things is something that you have to do. Satan is going to come and he's going to try to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he does. Those negative thoughts and those feelings that you have that come from Satan. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to destroy your future. That is what Satan does. He's not here for any profound reason other than to kill, steal, and destroy you. But if you believe in God, if you pray, if you're steadfast, if you give the Lord your whole heart, he will in return repay you. I remember being at church and saying, like, God, I don't feel as connected as I used to, right? But I'm still here. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep giving you all of me. Because I don't, even though I don't feel it the way that I used to feel it, I love you. And I know that you see me trying to get back into the fold the way that I was before spiritually. And it doesn't mean that I love God any less, because I do. I'm actually a lot more, in my opinion, grounded than I was before. I'm a lot more grounded now than I was before. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to keep on believing and trusting and trying to be as connected as I can with Christ, because that's who I am and that's what I want to be. And when I look back on my older pictures of myself, it's so funny to me because I look the same. I'm just thinner and I wore lighter makeup. Like, my makeup I wear now doesn't match my skin tone. It's a lot darker than normal. It doesn't match. Okay, it doesn't. But I don't mind that it's darker. I'm like, whatever, you know, I'm a black woman, child. Like, and it's summer. I can get away with it. Well, it's spring. I can get away with it. But when I look at my older pictures, I'm like, my makeup just looks lighter. And I was a little bit thinner. But my style is the same. It's not much of a difference, you know. I still look very much so like me, the way that I look now, just lighter makeup, and I was thinner. And so it's funny to me how my darker skin and my heavier body shape now is supposed to mean that I'm a different woman, and it's like, I'm not. But that, those are the stereotypes that we have of women, you know. And I'm okay with it because, you know, the same God that created you and me created, you know, all of the other people. It's just a decision of what we're going to do with it, you know. I watch all of these crime documentaries and serial killers and cold case files, and I'm like, man, the same God that created me created them. They just happen to have a demon or a craving for something that wasn't of God, and they gave into it, right? The same God that created me created them. And it puts things in perspective for me, you know, like, man, you know, it's sad and it's unfortunate, but, you know, whatever was going on with them mentally, they lost, you know, they didn't win, you know, the mental health won that round. But, you know, that's kind of all I have for you right now. I will be back. I know this has nothing to do with our usual topics, but I feel like this talk about confidence, like I said, I was proud of how far I came, because just a few years ago, I was suicidal and I was talking about it on my social medias. I was depressed. I cut my hair down all the way down to like an inch tall. I was just not myself. I was just over everything. But now, look at me. Like, I'm trusting God more and more every day. Even when it doesn't look and feel the way that I want it to, I'm like, Lord, I trust you. Because I know that on the other side of all of the pain, there is a blessing. I know that after the storm, there's a rainbow, and that rainbow is a covenant. It's a promise for me. And I trust that. Even if you don't believe in the Bible itself and the stories that you read, you have to see the beauty and the idea of the metaphor of, man, after the storm, there's a rainbow. Like, the storm doesn't last always, and trouble doesn't last always. The storm is over now. You know, like the girl said in the song, every day the sun won't shine, but that's why I love tomorrows. Like, seriously, every day isn't going to be perfect. Some days you're going to feel better than other days. Some days, you know, somebody says something, it hurts your feelings, but you're like, okay, I'll sleep on it, and tomorrow we'll get up and we'll try again. And so I feel like it's important to have these conversations, especially when we're talking about, you know, femininity and this goddess energy and the level up. It's important to talk about mental health, because if you're truly leveling up, like, you're going to grow and you're going to radiate from inside out. It does take time. It's a process, but you're going to glow from the inside out. And so being able to be humble and understanding it is beautiful, and being able to channel your mental health in a positive way is going to definitely help aid you in being the best version of yourself.
All right, so that's all I have for you, and I love you, and I pray that, you know, like, this does something to your spirit, and I pray that you're growing and that you're becoming the woman that you love and that your life is just full of miracles and blessings all the time. I hope your skin is glowing. I hope your waist is thinning and your hair is thicker and longer. I pray that your relationship is lovely and stronger than ever. I pray that you have the man of your dreams or the woman of your dreams, and everything is working out the way that you want it to. I pray that that bank account is exploding with cash and you never are lacking anything. I just pray that as your big sister, as your little sister, as your friend, I pray that everything that you need in life is coming towards you. I pray that every word that you speak is seen through a lens of love, and that you don't have people, because I know for me, y'all, I know that when I say something that is so positive, there's that little side of me like Diana Ross says, or it's like, oh no, it wasn't positive. There's always that little side of me is like, how are people going to respond to this? Because I'm a firm believer in it's not what you say, but how you say it. So a lot of times I'm like, well, could that be perceived, you know, incorrectly? Like, how did they hear it? I know how I heard it, but how did they hear it? And, you know, I'm happy that I am that way. Because, I mean, I really do like the woman I am. Like, I'm going to be honest. It was a battle. Like I said, when I was younger, I had self-esteem issues. I was overweight. You know, I had a lot of friends. But, you know, I had a few people in my life that made fun of me, that made me feel like I wasn't good enough, that, you know, and they were relatives. But, you know, it did make me feel unwanted. It did make me feel out of place. You know, it did make me feel like I wasn't good enough. And so to see how I've become this woman, how I've blossomed, makes me really happy. I'm like, girl, you did that. Like, you did that. Like, sis. Like, and I often think about that. Like, girl, you really did that. Like, in real life, like, you really became a woman. Like, you're not a child anymore. You're not, like, you really are a woman. Like, girl, you did that. And not only did you do it, but you did it with grace and style and poise and elegance and intelligence and a humble heart. And you still love others and you're still giving and caring. Like, girl, and you're still optimistic and you're still loving from a genuine place. Like, girl, you are amazing. You know, like, I literally have to sometimes sit back and tell myself, like, sis, you really did that. Like, when I think about my life and just, you know, friends and family and, you know, places I've lived, things I've done, places I've gone, experiences I've had, I'm like, girl, like, and I'm sure if you sat back and you did the same thing with your life, you'd be like, man, like, I really did that. Like, I overcame that. Like, really? I experienced that? Now look at my life. Like, wow, I never thought. I was watching Will and Grace, and Jack was hanging out with the girl who babysat him when he was a kid, and she was like, did you ever think that you'd be sitting in your own apartment drinking tea? And he was like, you know what, I did. He was like, but not my own apartment and not tea. And like, literally, I thought about it and I was like, that's how I feel. It's like, when I think about my life, I'm like, did I really think that I'd be doing this or doing that? It's like, I did, but I didn't, but I did, you know. It's like, it's always that little side of me that's like, I did, like, yeah, I did. But then when you see God unfolds all of these, you know, the smiles on people's faces and the love that you receive, and you get to see friends and family and the experiences you have and the feelings that you feel, you're like, man, I wasn't expecting this. Like, I was expecting this, but I wasn't expecting this, you know. And it's may not be everything that you want, and you may not have everything that you desire, but it's still that piece of you that's like, man, but like, I did, but I didn't, but I did, you know. So it's really, you know, it's just kind of funny how, you know, even if you have a mansion or you live like wherever, it's still like the idea of like, I knew that I would become an adult and I knew that I would encounter some things, but I didn't really know, you know. So it's just really funny. But I love you guys so much, and I pray that this, like, in some way blesses your life, and I pray that you have everything you desire, and I hope that God continuously rains and pours down blessings on top of you, and that, like, you're just
overwhelmed with love and overwhelmed with financial security and overwhelmed with peace. Like, I really, 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 really want this for you because you deserve it and you deserve to be happy. All right, babes, I love you so, so, so much. Pray for me because I promise I'm going to pray for you. All right, honeys, goodbye. Mwah.